welcome to episode 71 of
Myrtle Battle.
Yes, Mark has come back. We had episode 70, the big tournament, which was awesome, and then Mark decided to come back for an episode.
It was quite awesome. I wasn't there, but it was awesome.
He heard about how awesome it was. He truly.
I hear things.
He hears things and stuff and things and stuff. So anyway, let's get it out of the way immediately. Not that we have a problem with it, but hop knowledge. Today's hop to talk about is the Harmony hop, spelled H-A-R-M-O-N-I-E. Its origin is the Czech Republic. Description on it is intense, spicy, and earthy. Details for that, it was registered in 2004, so not that old of a hop. And it was bred from Saaz hops, used for bitterness, flavor, and aroma. Substitutions for this are Permient hops, Saaz hops, and Slatic, I don't know how to say that one. So two examples of beers brewed with Harmony hops are Crescent Brewery, Harmony Dark Lager, and actually that's the only one I could find.
So
apparently Harmony hops aren't used all that often. They've been around since 2004 though, so breweries, please get on this.
Do it.
Like seriously, come on. Get on that. So we have a warm-up beer for this episode.
We do.
And we're doing something very different with this warm-up beer. And I'll explain why that is.
Is that it's in a wine glass.
Yes, I decided to put this warm-up beer in a legit wine glass because this is one of the beers that Sweetwater Brewing sent to us after we had already had it on the show, and is their the Sweetwater IPA. They sent us some extra bottles of the beer, so I was like, you know, we should just use these for warm-up beers. It would be a lot of fun. And it is a nice beer, so I was like, you know what? Breweries that actually send us beer for the show, why don't we treat them right?
With respect.
Well, first of all, we do the blind tasting initially, and if things don't go well, sorry for that. Because it's blind, we have to be impartial. But after the fact, if you're still sending us beer, I mean, we want to treat you right. So we have our Sweetwater IPA in a wine glass right here. We're going upper crust, high yes. class with this.
High class.
So we shall sip on this nice Sweetwater IPA.
Yes, very florally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
You've had it, so it is a good beer.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on it, Mark? What are you getting from the beer?
Floral hop. I mean, isn't that your
it's
typical
an IPA.
Go-tos?
I mean, yeah, typical IPA. That's what you get. Are you enjoying it? Are you not enjoying it? Be honest about
it. It's a very good beer, actually.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is...
Everybody likes that.
What's that?
Everybody likes
that. Rebecca's down here. She said that everyone likes the Sweetwater IPA, so... the good thing is, I know Sweetwater is looking at coming to Maryland sometime in the near future.
So you cannot get this in Maryland.
Currently, you cannot get it in Maryland. So consider yourself lucky at the moment. To be sipping this beer that you can't get in Maryland. Out of a wine glass,
yes, out of a wine glass.
Don't you feel like bourgeois at the moment? Don't you feel like you're better than everyone?
I like it.
As well you should. It is a good beer, so thank you once again, Sweetwater. We really appreciate it. And especially nice treatment for you guys because you were the first brewery to send us beer. So thank you so much. You guys rock.
Well done.
Yes. Clap. Golf clap.
Golf clap.
Yeah, so something I wanted to talk about really quick. I know last episode we talked about the brewery in California.
You mean two episodes ago.
Oh, was it two episodes ago?
Yes.
I don't know. It was two episodes
there
ago.
There was a decasode last
yeah, that's
episode.
That's right. With all this beer, my brain just...
True. Ugh.
So anyway, two episodes ago, we talked about the brewery, and I had a little extra information to share about the brewery. They have a brewery society that they put together where basically you can sign up and pay them a flat fee, and they will ship you certain beers that they make when they're available. Like, it's usually they're harder to get a hold of ones like Chocolate Rain and, like, White Chocolate Rain. I think Black Tuesday, you know, beers like that of theirs.
Who is this, the brewery?
The brewery.
Okay.
B-R-U-E-R-Y, out of California. But the interesting thing is, they're only doing it to residents of California. So they're not shipping outside of the state.
Right.
Which I can understand, you know. You want to keep it kind of local, and shipping costs can be very, very expensive. But I just thought that this idea of having that brewery society where you could pay a flat fee and they'll say, you know, you are guaranteed to get these beers from us. And they're beers that are pretty highly sought after.
Right.
I think that is an awesome idea. And I think a lot of breweries should be doing more of that. Your thoughts on this, Mark? Does this sound like anything you would
interested? It depends on the cost, I guess, associated with it.
I don't
know. If they're like, it's a grand a year for this, it's like, well...
No, it wasn't anything like that. I think it may have been like around 200-something.
Again, I guess it depends on the brewery and what they're offering.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea, you know, it's like a exclusivity. Some places have that, you know, like I'm trying to think, like back in the day, McFarlane Figures, I don't know if you recall.
Because Mark is a big, like, comic book nerd.
Yes, they used to have a Collectors of the Month club that you would do, and you would get rare. I mean, it's been a long time since they've had some sort of exclusivity, but, you know, it makes sense for the collector, the beer drinker, and the business to do something like that, you know, to where you can't, obviously you'd love it if they could do more than just one state, but I can understand just due to shipping costs that it's not worth it to them because they can probably find enough in the state of California to fill that club as opposed to state.
Even though it might be hard to sell it, I feel like for newer breweries, this would be a really good idea because you'd have confirmed sales you're going to make. Like, you lock it in ahead of time that we're making these sales up front.
Right.
And then you're going to get the beer. It's actually a little bit like doing like a Kickstarter page where you get people to come to it and pledge money for you to do what you're going to do, and in turn you promise something to them. It's very much the same idea. And yet, for startup breweries, I think it's a really good idea to do something like this, have their own little society where they say, you know, we're going to have X number of like, special reserve releases or rare releases, and you will get, like, one or two bottles of each of these if you pay us, you know, X amount of dollars up front.
Well, I think you're looking at it differently than they're looking at it, though. I mean, they're looking at it as, like, guaranteed money, and, you know, as opposed to them just shipping it to a brewer, into a liquor store, and they're selling it for X amount of dollars, now we can sell it for X times two amount of dollars.
It's possible, yeah.
And we know that this is such a rare beer, we're going to sell it, as opposed to you're looking at it as, we're trying to get this to the public with a... So the way you're looking at it and the way the brewery's looking at it, I feel like it's a bit different.
Well,
but it might work for an upstart company the way they're doing it, but for them, they're not an upstart company.
Right.
They're just trying to sell their rare beer for more money.
That's
essentially what's going on.
That is the thing, because when they're shipping to a liquor store, they're selling for a certain price, and then there's the markup that the liquor store puts on it,
because
they have to get their cut, and I think it's usually somewhere around 20%.
And now they can have that markup go back to them.
Yeah, yeah, so... So this is an established brewery basically being like, hey, you know, we want a larger cut of these more popular beers, so we're going to sell it straight up like it's coming from a liquor store, but it's coming directly from us, so we're going to get that extra cut that we're not getting otherwise. So I think for that reason, it's a small it's a smart business idea for them.
Yeah.
But on the other side, it's smart for upstart breweries because... You know, they're not going to have anything that people have already heard of, but maybe they can get enough people who will say, you know, we promise to drink your beer, basically.
That would be a hard selling point. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you're saying, you know, maybe if you've had a beer from them and it was good, but otherwise it's like, why am I going to pay you money, you know?
Right. Well, but I'm gonna say this. The way you could get that going as a new brewery is... Have your tap room open, have people come in, try the beer, and then while they're there, if they're like, oh, I really like this beer's good, have someone serving the beer there be like, okay, well, we've got this thing, this club, would you like to sign up right now? You pay us X amount of dollars up front, and then we're going to send you, you know, these beers. What better time to do it than right then?
That could work.
People are riding the high of liking a beer.
Like,
that
I'd like
made.
To take a growler home of that. Nah, but you can sign off for our beer,
yeah.
Our exclusive beer club.
Plus the power of people being inebriated, slightly inebriated, whatever.
Very true.
You could get them to much easier, you know, sign up for these things.
People love exclusive things.
That is actually another very good point. People like to feel like
because
they're
then there's
the
a
know.
Rarity associated with it, and then yeah. you kind of get into that whole collector aspect of, you know, me being a collector, I know all too well about the hoarding obsessiveness when something yeah. rare comes along that you want it, not just for the sole purpose of it's good to drink, it's more to say, hey, look what I have, and you don't. So,
yeah, you know, you feel cool. You're like, hey, I'm in the know, and you've right. got all these suckers. And the other thing is, with the beer community the way it is right now, you kind of never know when a small brewery is all of a sudden going to get huge. Because there have been a bunch recently. Uh-oh, I think, Mark, are you yawning?
I was
are
yawning,
you tired?
I apologize.
Are you tired with this?
I am tired.
Terrible.
I'm over it.
No. But you truly never know what small brewery is going to be the next big thing. You know, like the Alchemist Brewery was a small brewery, and all of a sudden it's like the new hot thing. Hill Farmstead, also right. out of Vermont, is like the new hot thing. There are going to be more breweries that do this. So if you throw out there this little exclusive club thing, people in this mindset of like what's going to be the next big thing could be like, you know, maybe I should sign up for this, especially if it's a nominal fee. It's not too crazy. And be like, maybe I should sign up for this just in case. Because if it's big then I'm getting these beers guaranteed.
I guess it's you would hope that place is selling beers in your area. Because otherwise, you know, does Alchemist sell in Maryland?
No.
Well, there you go. You know, people in Maryland are screwed because they're not going to... I mean, I guess if you're reading up on it in forums and such, but, you know, there's no way you're going to know that, you know, I need to get into that Beer of the Month club.
But the thing is, with beer trading being so popular, especially through beeradvocate.com, you know, which I've gotten into as well recently, and I, you know, had some, you know, we had it on the show, we had some Heady Topper and we had some Pliny the Elder that I got through trading. Otherwise, there's no way I could get it. You know, people are very plugged in to what's going on in the craft beer community because of sites like this. Obviously, brewkeep.com, yes, them too.
Oh, those guys.
Those awesome dudes. So people are very clued in to what's new and what's hot and what's good. And, you know, like another one is Fatheads out of Ohio. I think they're out of Cleveland, Ohio, I want to say. But don't kill me if I'm wrong on that, people. But Fatheads, you know, we had their Headhunter IPA. You actually tasted it. It was one of the beers that Stu sent in on
an
episode. You were there. I enjoyed that, and then I ended up trading on Beer Advocate because I was like, oh, you know, Fatheads is pretty good. So I traded some On the Wings of Armageddon from DC Brow for their Hop Juju, which is a phenomenal Imperial IPA. I mean, I'm going to be honest, that really ranks up there. You know, it's not far behind Pliny the Elder and Heady Topper, really. It's really good. I have one more bottle at the moment, and I just... I'm trying to figure out the right time to drink it because it's so damn good.
Episode 100.
Episode 100. No, it won't be any good by then. You know, it'll be totally like
you're
the hops.
You just gonna have to slam out like 10 episodes a week.
Yeah, I'd have to record ahead like crazy. But at that point, the hops would just be so degraded it wouldn't be any good, honestly. But speaking of hops that are not degraded, this Sweetwater IPA out of the wine glass... Loving it right
now.
So
send us more beer. All breweries.
All breweries. Anyone who hears this, send us beer.
If it's good.
Yeah. Like, if you taste your beer and you're like, this is poop.
Yeah, this is bad.
Honestly, we'll take that too, though. Because it actually helps defer cost for me. Sorry. But that's kind of, you know. Another idea. Are you into The Walking Dead, Mark?
Yeah.
You're into The Walking
Sure.
Dead.
Sure. I'm not as obsessively, like... I don't think it is the greatest show on television. It's not.
Well,
sorry.
I was into the comic books, so I watched the first...
Oh, again, it's kind of like Game of Thrones. I watched the first season, then
right.
I'm I'm essentially up to date in the trades, how far they've gotten up to, but, you know.
So, you probably haven't heard about this, but since you know of, at least, The Walking Dead and the zombie craze that has come
about. Is there
about,
a Walking Dead beer?
That kind of. It's not commissioned, but it's by a brewery called Dock Street Brewing. I'm not actually 100% sure where they're from. But Dock Street Brewing has made a beer called Walker. And it's got like a zombie on the label. And it is a beer that has cranberries and goat brains in it.
I'm not completely vomiting because I've seen Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmer.
Love that show. Love it.
You know, not that I would try it, but to him it sounds like he can always relate the taste of something to something that normal people eat. So, I don't know what goat's brains taste like, but, you know, maybe it tastes like chicken. But I don't know how good chicken would be in beer either. That's interesting.
Right.
I don't think it's a good beer because how good is that meat flavor in a beer?
I don't know.
That seems like an interesting take. It's not essentially the goat brains that gets me. It's what goat brains is. It'd be what, like, if you said is, like, chicken in beer, it's like, that doesn't taste fair, that doesn't seem good. I mean, maybe like bacon, right? Maybe if it had the flavor of bacon, I can see that in a beer. But
so your issue isn't that it's goat brains, it's that what flavor will it impart on a beer?
Right. Like if it's a bacon flavor, that might scent taste good, or a smoky. But if it's like chicken, it's like bleh.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the fact that it has cranberries in it, you know that cranberries
will probably be fine. Did they have a scent made the beer? Like, is it?
Yeah, it's out, apparently.
And what are the reviews on it, I guess?
You know what? I can look it up while we're talking about it. But,
like, is this a beer just to say, hey, I made a beer with goat's brain? Or is it a beer to say, hey, I made a good beer?
I think it's, obviously just a cash grab.
Right.
Actually,
is this a beer you hold and say, hey, look what I have, not a beer, oh, this is really good?
It's the concept. Right, because, you know, they're putting goat's brains in it and they're putting cranberries in it because they want it to be like, oh, you know, if you're a zombie, it's like bloody brains is what you're drinking. Right. You know, like pretend like you're a zombie. You know, like, it's obvious that it's
but I hate to tell you, all the blood is gone when you're probably, you know, frying the brain and then grinding it up or whatever. I can't imagine there being, you know.
It doesn't even really have like a full-on rating on Beer Advocate, but there are three people who have had it on here. One gave it 4 out of 5, another one gave it 4 out of 5, and one gave it 3.5 out of 5. Those are pretty good marks. So, I mean, it must be good.
Goat's brains may taste like nothing, and it's just like, you know, they're saying it just to say it, and there's such a pronounced flavor in it that you get nothing of the goat's brains.
Although, interestingly enough, it says on Beer Advocate it's a stout, which is kind of weird. So, actually,
it's probably maybe the smoky stout, you know, kind of like, there's a stout that Kyle says it tastes like beef jerky or something like that. It's like,
the thing
maybe
with making
that's what it tastes like.
The thing with making a stout is obviously stouts are dark, so you might not really be able to see the particulate of the goat's brains in it. And it wouldn't look like bloody brains because of the dark flavor from all, or the dark color from all the malts.
Oh, so it's like brain giblets.
Yeah. So it might be, you know, they may have gone with a stout style because they want to be able to have other people try it unwittingly.
Right.
And see what they think about it.
I certainly wouldn't fear it. You know, oh my god, goat's brains. Because I feel like it, you know, you're not going to get some like gooey slop and, you know, it's like, relax.
I know it's a cash grab because they're trying to play on the whole zombie, you know, popularity thing. But I would try it. I'd try it once to see what it's like. And if it's good, then maybe I'd have it again. If it's not good, then I'd just be like, okay, it was just a cash grab and wasn't worth anything, so I'd just say whatever.
I'm sure there's plenty of beers that have interesting, you know, especially European wise interesting ingredients that you normally wouldn't see in it.
Well, two episodes ago, we had that Oddland beer by Elysian. Yeah. Very interesting concept.
Very interesting stuff, but ginger and goat's brains a little. And you know what? Ginger is probably has a much stronger flavor than goat's brains to the point where you might like it, the goat's brains, better.
I have a feeling that goat's brains have like an irony type flavor to them. Like, so, I don't know. But I just want to throw that out there and see what your thoughts were, knowing that the zombie craze is alive and well at the moment. You know,
human brains, people. Come on, let's get some human brains in there.
Mark's calling you out, Doc.
If you've
Street
seen
Brewing.
The donor card that says yes, just ask them if you can borrow, if you can have some brains. Then it's extremely limited. You can bring it back to that beer society where you know you yeah, can have you these go. Cannibals enjoying their human brains beers. There you go.
I like how you just tied
exactly.
all that.
I tied
in.
Everything together.
And now the episode is complete.
Exactly.
And since it's complete, I think it's time to move on to the mystery beers.
Awesome.
So let's go ahead. Beer A looks like it is amberish.
Not very, got
it's
a lot
hazy.
Of, yeah,
a lot of
hazy.
Sediment in that sucker.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of sediment.
For sure.
Not much of a head, but the head that it has is pretty white.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and smell it. Huh. Vinegar is what it smells like. I'm thinking this is
really?
Probably a sour. Do you smell vinegar in that?
Cream or something. I don't know, man. I mean, I do smell a little vinegar, but...
I smell hops and vinegar, basically, is
maybe
about all I'm getting out of this sucker. It smells interesting. I don't know how I'm going to feel about drinking vinegar,
I mean,
though, if it tastes like that.
Wow, look at the sediment in that.
Yeah,
that
the sediment is...
great.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Like, that is like a... Like, there is a nice.
It's like goat's brain giblets.
At the bottom. It might be. Is this what you've been fooling me with? Is so that I didn't puke after this, that we're having the goat's brains beer?
Yeah. It smells like it's got to be sour. But here's the interesting thing. There's a little sweetness to it that makes it smell a little jammy at the same time, like you know, some sort of preserve.
I smell some cream cheese or some sour cream. I don't know why.
Well, it's like vinegar, hops, and strawberry jelly.
It's a thick head.
Kind of weird, sure. But trust me on this.
I will trust you that this is a sour, since the only sours I've probably had are on this are on this podcast.
Pretty much here, too. All right,
yeah,
well,
man, I smell cream cheese for some reason. I don't know why.
Doesn't taste sour. It smells like, ooh, okay, maybe a little bit.
Dude, I smell cheese in this for some reason.
Yeah, I can see where you're getting that. It has kind of like a bit of a funk that cheese will get from the bacteria that ages it.
Like, I just taste cheese like that on it. Not even the funk, like the smoothness of like a, I don't know, man. Huh.
I still think this could be a sour, but it's not very sour.
No, it's not very sour. It's very...
And it's getting a...
I've never seen so much sediment in a beer.
It's a lot of sediment.
It's interesting, though.
It's giving me... It is giving me a vinegar-type flavor without the tart kick from vinegar. You know what I mean? Like, take the vinegar flavor and strip away a lot of the tartness to it. That kind of flavor. That may be kind of confusing, but that's...
I can see that. I mean,
it's hoppy. It's got some decent hops to it.
This is another interesting beer.
And like I said, in the nose, I'm getting a little bit of like a strawberry jam-ish. But the strawberry aspect of it is not very pronounced. It's very, very dull. But the jammy quality is very much there.
Mm. Still going with cheese. And I don't care if it's right. It's
no,
cheese.
I definitely hear you on
that's
that.
What all those bits are.
it's cheese lumps.
They just shaved some cheese off and stirred it
like,
up.
Yeah, some Romano cheese
exactly.
up in this beer.
It's Parmesan. And just shook it in.
Yeah, just sprinkle some Parmesan on top of that, bitch.
I don't know what to say about it. It's
interesting.
God, it's like all these
confusing,
interesting beers that I wouldn't want to have again, but...
Yeah.
But they're certainly Interesting.
I feel like Rebecca ran through the liquor store and was just like, that's crazy, that's crazy, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I wish Dock Street was there because I'd like to try that Walker on the show.
Yes.
That'd be interesting. Hey, Dock Street, if you listen to this podcast, send us some Walker. Yes. We'll try.
I will eat your rope brains.
Okay, so B is a very dark beer. It looks like it's most likely a porter or a stout. Doesn't have a whole lot of head to it, but whatever head you can see is white. So it would lead me to believe probably not much. Oh, okay, well, never mind.
Dude, when I smell mint.
You smell mint?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I smell mint as well.
Yeah, man.
If that's the case, I have a feeling what it might be. But yeah, that is the first thing you get. Your palate is assaulted by a minty quality.
I like it. Like,
wow.
I'm a fan of mint, so.
I like mint, too.
Yeah.
Mint and chocolate are some of my favorite
combos. That's what I'm hoping
this
tastes like, but I fear it's going to taste like something completely different.
All I get out of this is mint with a little bit of roasty malt notes.
Yeah, roasted mint. That exists.
A little bit of, I mean, obviously there's chocolatiness it, too, from the roasted malt. Smells like mint chocolate.
I'm going to try.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump in.
Mint.
Mint. Yeah, like right up front. Very minty. There's no confusing that flavor.
I like it, mainly because I like mint, so. But I don't really taste a lot of complexity in terms of it.
It's mint, but the mint is not...
I mean, it's not.
It's not out of whack.
Right.
It does. It tastes. Okay.
You know what this beer is?
I have a feeling I know what it is. It's not. For me, the mint isn't like it's a artificial mint flavoring. It's more like someone actually took some sprigs of mint leaf and put it into the beer.
There's definitely a like grassy type feel to it. Like, I can't explain it. Like plant.
Yeah, like, yeah, and that's what I mean like, by like an actual
like
mint leaf.
It's not some sort of straight up mint extract like you're dropping
exactly.
in there.
And there's a big difference between like the concentrated mint chemical flavor
like
that you
beer
get
a lot.
And, you know, this more herbal, natural mint flavor. Because the natural
I get a lot of plant like not spice but more. Like, straight out of the garden.
Yes, I agree
essence.
With that. Mint from the actual plant is more delicate.
Right.
Of a mint flavor. It's a very nice, delicate flavor. And that's what I'm getting in this beer. I'm getting that delicate mint plant flavor with a nice kind
this
of...
This is a beer I'd have.
Chocolatey roast base to
and
it.
Since you know what it is...
I have a feeling I know what it might be. But
it's going to get rated pretty well by me. Oh, that is a very good beer. That is a beer I would have again.
It is nice. It's nice, but I'll say this. For being a stout style, the mouthfeel is quite watery.
It is quite watery, but the mint just... I guess I'm a fan, man.
I'm going to be honest. For
like, if this was sort of a milk stout, like a mint chocolate milk stout, that would be great.
My argument for this beer on the negative side would be that I would like a little bit more of a chocolatey presence to it.
Yes.
I think the mint is exactly where it should be, but on the aftertaste, I would like the chocolate ramped up a tad bit more. But that said, I like it too. I do like it, and I would drink more of it. I'm going to have to go back to right now to make up my mind. It's like vinegar without the tartness. It's kind of weird. You know, I don't know what else to say.
I think it's a cheesy beer, man.
Yeah, it does have that funky, cheesy quality. But I perceive some hops, not crazy hops. It's all right. I don't think it's terrible. I mean, oh, God, this is going to be a tough one for me. A is what's really perplexing me. I think I have my number for B, but A is perplexing me at the moment. Okay. I think I got him.
You can go with A first.
Okay. I'm going to give a 3.
I'll give it a 3 too.
Okay. So an overall 3. I'll go first on B. I'm going to be a 5.
I'm going to go 7.
Going to 7.
I'm going to 7, man. I liked this beer.
It is a good beer. I would just like a little bit more chocolate.
Right. And if it had more chocolate, you might be looking at a 9, you know.
Yeah, maybe. For a 9 for you probably and a 7 for me if it had more chocolate to it. But that's good. It's overall 6 for that. It's a 6. Oh no, yeah,
six
no,
and
you're
a half, man.
No, it's a 6.
I thought you said 5. Oh, you said
I
5.
I said 5 and you said 7. Six, so that six, yeah, that's
six,
a 6.
It's solid. 6 is solid. 6 is good, man.
That's going to make it onto our list on the website of the top beers on the podcast. So, well done. Very good job. I think I know what B is. So.
Okay, then. Ooh. Did that influence your number at all?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. It didn't.
Because if you've had this beer before and you're like, nah.
I've not had it. I have not had it before.
Oh, so you know what it is, but you've not had it.
I think I know what it is, and I haven't had it, if I am correct. I've only had one mint chocolate beer in my life, and that was by Spring House. It was their Satan's Bake Sale. Okay. And that's a good mint chocolate beer. All right, well, you want to...
Let's reveal A, man.
Let's reveal it. A,
reveal that vinegar cheese beer with a crap load of sediment.
So A with an overall of 3 is... Whoa. Global Warmer by 6 Point. Brewing.
That's like an energy drink size
bottle. Yeah. 6 Point usually does, they always do cans, and with some of their beers they do like an energy drink skinny style can. I really enjoy their resin beer and their high res, which is the more alcoholic version, more hopped version of that. So their Global Warmer, it is 7% alcohol. They have the IBUs on this, which is 70, which I appreciate, you know, breweries putting the IBUs on here. This is a brewery that doesn't deal in styles. They don't tell you on their cans what the style is. They don't believe in styles. They believe in just making beers, and the beers are what they are. So it says, some say the world will end in fire, some say in ice. That's kind of funny because of the Game of Thrones thing that we did.
Like, is this a Game of Thrones beer?
From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. A winter warmer is warm... a winter warmer to warm your globe, or a global warmer to warm your winter. There's no denying the beer climate is changing. Okay, well, that's kind of like a beer existential statement.
Yeah, it's like, here's a beer, we're gonna be lazy and not tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
There's no ingredients whatsoever, there's nothing,
nope,
it's just
nope,
kind of...
Nope, it's just...
It's just kind of a big F... I mean, honestly, it's a big F you to say... You know, it's an excuse to say we're all about just brewing beer. Well, you know, some people like to know what's in a beer so that they can pick it out and look for something else that's similar. And when you're doing a podcast, it doesn't help, man.
I'm of two minds on this. On one side, I understand being kind of more punk rock and being like, I'm not going to conform to the norms of actually putting a style on it.
Oh, I'm a hipster. I put my cans in... energy drink cans, man. I don't like to tell anybody what I'm doing, so I'm gonna rock out of my flannel shirt and thick rimmed glasses.
I like the cans that 6 Point uses, and I like a lot of 6 Point's beers.
I'm not saying it's bad or good beer. It's more how they go about it.
I understand, but
chaps my ass.
That's fine. I appreciate the fact that they are kind of trying to go against the grain, but I think they also need to realize that when you have your typical beer purchaser going into a liquor store, they're looking for style.
Exactly.
And if you don't have a style clearly delineated on your cans or bottles or whatever,
which is
you're selling,
funny because they're like, "Oh, we're trying to be anti-trend," and yet they have these, you know, sharp-looking energy drink-sized bottles. It's like you're not, you know, you want to stand out in a crowd. I don't know what I'm getting at.
No, I see what you're saying. They're actually potentially playing off of the energy drink trend. So they're going against the grain in one
industry. And if somebody saw that, they'd be like, well, what is this?
Right.
And the only person that would buy it is thinking, well, I want to find out what it is. As opposed to somebody who's going in there and being like, I'll give a if I don't know what it is, I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense for our for this podcast because you're going in blind, so it doesn't really matter. But for somebody like myself who's going in, you know, I'm going to skip it.
Well, and if you text me when you're at a liquor store, I'm not going to recommend this beer because it's not a terrible beer, but it's also not
like you would recommend the brewery company. So, which I guess would make sense for them if you recommended the brewery company and you don't know what it is for the first time, you'd be like, "Yeah, man, they're a pretty good brewery company. Try it." Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, but no thanks.
But no thanks.
Because again, it's a beer you try, but it's disappointing to not know what's in it.
Yeah, it's tough.
Cheese.
In the age of information, you're stripping information and people don't like it. So I understand that. Well, let's get to beer B. Let's reveal that. That is the winner of this episode with an overall of 6, which is a great showing on the show. A great showing.
And you know what it is, so let's take a guess.
I think I might know what it is. Okay, B with an overall of 6 is exactly what I thought. Yes. It is by Flying Dog. It is one of their brew house rarities. It is their mint chocolate stout. I actually purchased a few of these beers recently. I had not consumed them. So I assume that Rebecca probably just pulled this out of the fridge and was like, maybe I'll taste them on this. So Flying Dog, a few episodes back, you had your easy IPA on.
Which was good.
Did well.
4.5, and then you have this, which is a 6.
This is kind of a freebie for you.
Send more beer.
Yeah, send some more beers. We'll put them on there. So this is a freebie for you guys that we put on here. It's 5.7% alcohol. You can't perceive barely any alcohol in it, which is a good thing. I'll read what it says. Disconnected from the world below, the entire brewery team congregates atop. I mean, it's the way this is on here, the design is kind of hard to read it. The entire brewery team congregates atop a historic overlook each year to develop beers that shatter the confines of traditional styles. The only criteria lies in a few simple words from the good doctor. Too weird to live, too rare to die. Hunter S. Thompson. That's a pretty cool description, in my opinion.
Like, that beer, if I'd saw it in the liquor store, I would have bought it. Mainly because it's
you're a mint fan.
Yeah, and mint and chocolate fan and a stout fan. I mean, it's all up my alley. As opposed to the other beer, if I walk in there and see nothing about it outside of its sort of obscure can and this and that, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me to not tell me what's in it.
I'm going to be honest. If I was an uninformed consumer, I would pass over all of 6 Points beers.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I guess they're not in it to make money. They're in it to sort of...
Well, I mean, ultimately they are.
Because it's like, you're not going to get anybody to sort of move over into craft beer, these guys. Because, you know, somebody who's walking by might see that mint chocolate stout and they're like, whoa, I've never seen something like that. I'm going to try that. And all of a sudden, you know, they're sort of in. As opposed to that, they'd see that and be like, that's an interesting can, but they'd... You know, move on by because they're not, you know, they're not telling you.
It is
what it is.
Yeah, it's very interesting that we try these two beers against one another because it's truly a situation where you have very clear labeling enticing people
like
to say
green.
Mint chocolate, and that'll bring people in versus a can by 6 Point that just says global warmer, which has no descriptors, which will not bring
and global warmer does not sound like anything you'd want to drink.
Yeah.
Oh, global warmer. Warm beer.
Sounds
as opposed to a macro guy.
Global warming, you're going to get some CO2 fumes.
But they might not be looking at that crowd, so what do I know?
But like I said before, I respect what 6 Point's trying to do, and I am an informed...
It's not a bad beer. So.
I'm an informed beer consumer, so I do know that 6 Point puts out good stuff. Like I said, I like their resin,
I like their
high res.
So, you know, as someone who's... only been in it for a year, who's maybe I've had a 6 Point brewing, but I can't remember.
I don't think you have.
I'd kind of be like, you know.
A lot of the 6 Point is not available around here because they're having problems selling it. Big surprise. And a lot of the stores are dropping them because when they're getting them, they're already out of date or they just sit there and go out of date.
A bunch of hipsters. I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but it's like, I'm just so tired of that feeling
like against the grain mentality. You know,
because that, again, it's like I want to be anti-trend, but in a sense you've become trend. You know,
right?
I don't know. And just be yourself. And I guess if that's what you want to do, do it. But
yeah, do what you want.
For someone like me, I'd appreciate you telling me what's in the beer so that I can enjoy it.
And obviously, 6 Points doing all right. I mean, they're
where are they out of?
New York.
Okay,
so they're doing fine. I will note that I have already finished my mint chocolate stout.
It was good.
It was good. It kept me going back, so good on you, Flying Dog. You did a good job. You did really well in the show, too.
But more chocolate, man. You could have 10 on your hand.
Just a tad bit more chocolate, and I would
eat all over it. Some cheese, and some goat's brains, and some vinegar.
No, none of that, actually. But thank you so much. Once again, breweries, you know, send us please. Stuff. Contact us at brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. Anyone out there who listens, contact your local breweries. Tell them, hey, you need to send some beers into this awesome, awesome podcast. And they'll taste them and they'll evaluate them. And it'll be blind and it'll be honest. And then if you send them extra beer after that, they will praise you like we praised Sweetwater for sending us extra ideas.
Exactly.
So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Mark, for being on again.
No problem.
And everyone out there, just don't forget to keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.